Good morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's on the Terrace. Our gathering words are just inside the front cover of the Order of Service. We move towards the advent of the child. Pressure builds, anticipation kindles. Who in our world needs to know the joy of living? How can we spread that joy? And we're going to sing the hymn you just learned. So I'll ask Peter to play right through a whole verse first before we start. Creation of worship services, start with a good strong hymn that everyone knows. But the delight of it is that that's a new tune written by Vivian for this Christmas to words that were already existing of Shirley Murray's, and it's been printed on the Christian World Service website for as a Christmas resource for all the churches in New Zealand who use that website. So we had a world premiere just there. So thank you, Vivian, thank you. So welcome everyone. Nothing will be as hard as that for the rest of the service. And I have to say that I'm quite glad that I wasn't mic'd up, because there's somewhere in the middle where I kept on getting lost, which I'll have to work out before we have that again. But it's lovely to have you all here, and it's good that it's a nice sunny day as well. Just a little bonus. Welcome to all of you, and I'd like to embarrass the gentleman on the right who's from South Africa. Would you like to stand up and introduce yourself?
I'm Maurice, I'm from South Africa.
He turns up every about 6 weeks to 2 months, kind of, and there he is sitting there, so he's become one of our regular parishioners. It's really lovely to have you with us. And there's others I know I can see, and Palmerston North is represented. Anyone else from elsewhere? Come on. Yes. Scotland, yeah. Just a little bit further away. Welcome, welcome. Any more? Nainai, oh, you did come a long way. Yeah. Good to have you all. And there's a cup of tea at the back afterwards if you want to carry on the conversation, and we hope you will. Kia ora tātou. Let us pray. The time draws nearer to Christmas Day, and like many New Zealanders, we have a whole list of things that need to be done before then. But we come now to this moment, these few moments in church, where the joy is woven through our service, where the anticipation is bubbling underneath, where we seek amidst the bounciness also the serenity that can be brought by faith in the sacred. And so we ask for quiet hearts, for open ears, for open minds as we celebrate this third Sunday of Advent. So may it be. And we say together the Jesus Prayer or the Lord's Prayer. It's on the laminated card that you've been given. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Each week we light the rainbow candle to show that everyone is included, including children. And so, who would like to do that today? I think someone from Scotland would be a good person, don't you? Aided by her cousins. Okay. So, by counting the candles, can you tell which Sunday of Advent this is? The third. Very good. He can count. You going to light the candle for us? So, this is the candle of, do you remember? Hope.
Peace,
very good. And the next one is, high up, it's joy. Any joy in your house at the moment? Blowing it out, and we'll relight it again. And light the rainbow candle. Have a seat down the front, guys. You want to blow it out, Ruby? Not this one. Let's have a story. The candle of joy. We might need orders of service for the children for the song, which comes next. Right. Well, it's always a bit of an interesting mystery as to who's going to be here on any particular day. It's quite interesting. So I might try an idea I had out on you, seeing you're all grown-up children today. You know how at school teachers ask you to write stories, make them up in your imagination? Do you like doing that? Do you like writing imagination stories? Kind of. Do you, Ruby? Yep. Do you like it? You don't have to say yes. Sometimes, okay. Depends on the topic, perhaps. Yeah. So let's say that you were going to write a story about someone very special like me, for example. Okay, and you wanted to let people know by the way that you made up the story that I was very, very special. Okay? Don't shake your head. I think me being very special is a really good idea. So what people or events could you put in the story to make sure that people got the idea from the story that I was a very special person? Got to use your imagination, haven't you? What would prove to people reading the story that I was really special? Oh, right, love them a lot, yes. What could, if you were writing the story, would you put some people in the story to show that that was true? Yeah, what kind of people would we put in the story? People who needed a lot of love, for example. Shook hands with the Queen. What do you reckon? Would that make people think I was special? Yeah. Anyone else like the Queen? That you would, if you read in the story that I had shaken the hand of, you'd go, wow. So who would really impress you? They're hard, aren't they? Okay. Okay, well, if you can't think of how to make me special, well, it's a bit of a disappointment, really. What about if you were going to put some people in my story that showed that I was, it's a bit along your line, that I could get on with anyone in the world, even people who were a bit scruffy and a bit smelly and a bit funny. Who would you introduce into the story for me to interact with? Yeah? A fat person, okay? So I'd be nice to the fat person, would I? Okay. Any other kind of people that would show that I was okay with everybody? You might put yourselves in the story, do you think? Shall I get on with you? If I can get on with you, Angus, I can get on with anyone. If I can get on with Callum, I can get on with him. All right, so we'll put Callum in the story, will we? So it's quite hard, isn't it? It's quite hard to think up stories that'll get messages across to people. And so it's interesting when you look at the Christmas story. If you look up behind me, there are some cane figures there. Who are they? Three wise men, okay? And there are two new ones today, up on the hills, the shepherds, okay? And those are people in Jesus' story that tell us exactly what I was asking you to show in my story. The kings show that Jesus was special and knew about kings and knowledge and things like that. And the shepherds show that he got on with everybody, because shepherds in Jesus' time were smelly and dirty, and they went around from place to place. And do you know what? They wouldn't even let them give evidence in a court of law, because people didn't trust shepherds those days. They thought they were just the pits, so they didn't include them at all. So that's how that story tells us Jesus is special. Have you heard this story called Wombat Divine?
Yes.
You have. You know how it finishes?
Yep.
Do you want to hear it again? It was the week before Christmas. Wombat loved Christmas. He loved the carols and the candles, the presents and the pudding. But most of all, he loved the nativity play. For as long as he could remember, he'd wanted to be in it. Now he was old enough to take part. Emu was bossing and fussing as usual. "Now let's get started," she said. "Who'd like to be the Archangel Gabriel?" I would, said Wombat. But he was too heavy to be the Archangel Gabriel. See, he was a fat person. Billy was chosen instead. Billy patted Wombat on the back. "Never mind, don't lose heart. Why not try for a different part?" "What a good idea. Who'd like to be Mary?" "I would," said Wombat. There's Mary trying to get into Mary's costume. Wombat trying to get into Mary's costume. But he was too big to be Mary. So he got then asked, what did he get asked to be next? "Who'd like to be one of the three kings?" "I would," said Wombat. But he was too short to be a king. So he's too fat and he's too heavy and he's too short. The kangaroos were chosen instead. The kangaroos put their arm around him and said, "Don't worry, why not try another part?" So he tried everything. He wanted to be Joseph, but he was too sleepy. He wanted to be an innkeeper, but he was too clumsy. He wanted to be one of the shepherds, but he was too short-sighted. And then there were no parts left. Wombat hung his head and hoped he wouldn't cry. Suddenly Billy had leapt in the air. "I know, you could be the baby Jesus." "Could I?" asked Wombat. "Could I really?" "Of course you could, Wombat," said Emu. "Fancy me forgetting such an important part. A nativity without baby Jesus is no nativity at all." He was dizzy with joy.
Christmas Eve arrived. Everyone was nervous except Wombat. He lay still and quiet throughout the whole performance. He even fell asleep, just like a baby would. On Christmas Day, when everyone was opening presents and eating pudding, they all agreed it had been the best nativity ever. "You were divine," Wombat said, Emu. And Wombat beamed. So even Wombats can be included in the nativity scene. Now, the reason that we got you those orders of service is we're going to sing Te Haranui, which you've probably sung at school, I think, have you?
Yep.
So that will remind you of the words. Because don't you find when you start singing a carol that you think you know, you run out of words about verse 2? Well, that'll help you remember them. And we've got some shakers for you to use during the chorus. Now, this is the last day of Rainbow Room, and I'd just like to say that your leader, Jules, has been winning competitions recently. She won a competition for the best pun, and she won one for the best joke. But she was nominated for the best joke. Did you not make it to the best joke? That's a disappointment. So, she's a punny, jokey person. Isn't that clever of her? Let's sing Te Haranui. Shakers in the basket and in a circle. So for the last time this year, we send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions, have fun, and we hope you have a great time, and we all say we bless you, amen, and a happy Christmas to you. And we are going to pass the peace.
Thank you.
While our reader makes it down from the gallery to the lectern, can I draw your attention to the inserts just at the end of the order of service before the notices, which is a little description of some of the people, or one woman in South Sudan who is one of the people that is assisted by the Christian World Service appeal. I think about the last couple, two or three sentences. Joyce attended a small business course last year and received money to invest. Her business has grown and she has food stored to use later when prices are higher. It is enough to pay school fees, medical expenses and live comfortably. It's along the lines of the fishing proverb, isn't it? And I'll get it wrong, probably trying to remember it on the spur of the moment. But give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, give him a fishing line, something like that, and he can keep himself. And that's the principle of the partner organisation that works in South Sudan alongside Christian World Service. So that's what your Christmas appeal money is going to. And you have today and next Sunday and Christmas Eve to give to the appeal. If you have lost your envelope, then just put your offering in an envelope marked Christian World Service and we'll get it there for you.
The reading from the Hebrew Bible is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 to 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Holy One, God alone, is my strength and my defence, and has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise, proclaim the holy name, make known among the nations what God has done, and proclaim that the name is exalted. Sing to God who has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And the gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel appeared to them, and glory shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a child has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the long-awaited one. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, singing praise to God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and on earth, peace to all. the invitation. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. Doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, or fade it, or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, remember the limitations of being human. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Sometimes because the office needs an order of service a little bit earlier than I'm ready for it, I pick a sermon title. And then when it comes to the time when my internal processes have got to the place where I can write a reflection, I look at the title and think, why did I pick that? It's a little like that today, but I think that if we can pay attention to something of what I'm talking about, then I think the question, who needs joy, might answer itself.
Let us pray.
As we consider joy, may we open our hearts to what that might mean in all its entirety. So may it be. Amen. Like others this week, I have been caught by the poignancy of a young British tourist being murdered on our shores. It has underlined our relative helplessness and vulnerability as human beings. She was in touch with her family through social media, we're told, multiple times a day. It must have seemed as if they were travelling with her. And we in New Zealand would pride ourselves on having a so-called safe country. She was intelligent, educated, even experienced a little in overseas travel. She was loved by her family, which seems to be relatively affluent. And she could afford to take a year to travel after completing a university degree. She apparently had everything going for her. And yet, like too many other young women, many of them less privileged than she was overcome by forces too evil for most of us to imagine. We can be cynical that the outpouring of grief and shock was because Grace embodied her name. The big blue eyes and seemingly flawless skin on her social media photograph shows us a very physically attractive young woman, and many other young women who have been killed in New Zealand do not have the same aura of romance about them as Grace did. But whoever you are, and whether you are murdered by a man or another woman, this is always a tragedy, and it causes much sorrow to those who knew the victim. And obviously in New Zealand this week, those who didn't. It's a paradox in this Advent week of joy that such sorrow flows through our nation, yet joy and sorrow are intimately and inextricably linked. It's because Grace was a beautiful and intelligent young woman who brought great joy to her family that her death brings them deep, deep sorrow. Our sorrow at any loss is the measure of how much joy that which we have lost has brought us in the past. It applies to houses. Leaving a home you have loved is a wrench. It applies to jobs. Being made redundant or retiring from a beloved profession is a grief. It applies to relationships. We grieve for the friendships and lovers we lose in death or through estrangement. Even poor relationships still have had their good points. Otherwise, we would not have entered into them in the first place. It applies to religion. The loss of religious understandings that brought you joy when you were younger now brings sorrow and grief and nostalgia. It applies to Christmas. The memory for many of a happy Christmas in your past may be a joy that's now covered over with pain. The joy that we're encouraged to feel by the two scriptural readings today are not just out of the blue joy. They're the result of something sorrowful and difficult having been resolved. In the Isaiah reading, the reference is to deliverance from exile. The people were taken hundreds of miles to the east to Mesopotamia and kept there for decades, but later were released and allowed to return. This is the joy that's being expressed in this reading, and God is being credited with that deliverance. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise, proclaim the holy name, make known among the nations what God has done and proclaim the name is exalted. Sing to God who has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. It's a burst of joy after a period of great darkness and sorrow and pain. This is a very different kind of song that Wendy read to us today from the mourning tones of the psalm where the people had lamented that they had to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And now they have returned and joy has also returned to their lives. This joy is the other side of the coin of the sorrow of exile. And in the gospel, the announcement of the angels is not only a sudden burst of glory in the darkness of a Middle Eastern field. If you've ever looked at the timings of the books of the Bible, there's a long space between the end of Malachi, the last book in the Hebrew Bible, and the beginning of Matthew, the first book in the Second Testament. During that time, it is said, the prophets were silent. Israel did not seem to have anyone who could communicate for them with the gods. In the same way as when you were exiled, it must have seemed a long, long wait for this Messiah that the people believed was promised them in their Hebrew scriptures. Many, many long years. There are not, in fact, many times in an average life when we experience an unbroken stretch of time when joy is always present. M. Scott Peck famously wrote at the beginning of his bestseller, The Road Less Travelled, life is difficult. And my mother found that such a relief to read that she bought each of her four children a copy of the book. It seems that sorrow or pain is more our experience. So that when joy bursts in on us, it is remarkable and we do remark on it. It's as if it always needs to be announced by angelic beings. It is so special. By the way, Wendy, I think you should audition for the Angel Gabriel. That was a very good delivery of glory to God on the highest. So we're not talking here about happiness, but joy. And joy is that deeper emotion that carries with it still, I believe, the echoes of pain. The scratches from the thorny bushes through which we have had to push, the blisters from the difficult road we've travelled, the difficulties of illness or poverty or despair, of treating elderly relatives frustrating in their loss of memory with dignity and respect, of managing small children who don't understand the sacrifices you're making for them, of struggling through that entry-level job which isn't as interesting yet as you hope your career might turn out to be. So when Oriah Mountain Dreamer, who is a Presbyterian, writes of what is important to her about joy and sorrow in an authentic person, she begins first writing about sorrow. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the centre of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes, without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, remember the limitations of being human. One of the things I learned in doing this reflection was that the scriptures don't expect us to be happy all the time, and they don't expect us to be joyful all the time. They express the joy that comes after those long periods of darkness, sorrow and pain. So be gentle with the sorrow and despair that you might be feeling at the moment or from time to time. It's part of you. And as you experience it, it's honing you and carving into you so that when joy comes, you can hold more of it, reveling in the delight and glory of it all, like startled shepherds on a formerly dark hillside, or like people returned from exile in a far country, now experiencing the joy of coming home to yourself. Sit with the pain without moving to hide it or fix it, and it will bring you joy. A space of quiet. So may it be our offering for the work here and for those who need food will be received. We're going to sing a carol as our offering prayer, and it's partly that we add to our gifts of money and food also the gift of our openness to the sacred. So let's sing quietly and meditatively, "Come Now, Lord Jesus." May it be. Amen.
Only for, only for,
at this time of year, the notices get shorter and shorter, but there are one or two things. Just that Cuppa and Chat keeps going this week. It takes a break on Boxing Day, but it starts again immediately after. So if you're at a loose end during January, do come along to Cuppa and Chat and experience it. 10:30, general chat, and then at 11 we start a round where we each take it in turn to speak for a few minutes, totally uninterrupted. It's quite a luxury, I can assure you. I'd just like to say thank you to our musicians. I was a bit surprised, Peter, to find you down at the piano so quickly after that last carol. I didn't give you any space at all. You really get a workout, don't you, during Christmas carol services. So thank you for your sprightliness. That's really great. And thank you to the choir, too, who for several weeks now have been here every morning, every Sunday morning when I've arrived, and I arrive fairly early, working on their pieces. So let's thank them all very much. Wendy today too did an amazing job of getting down those fairly steep stairs from the gallery to the church to get to the reading, so thank you. Well, there may not be many notices in the order of service, but there's plenty of people sitting here on the front row.
Hello everyone. I have a message here from Fiona McDougall, who's currently back in Scotland looking after her mum, who had a very major operation. But this is her message. After various ups and downs, mum seems to be balancing out, and though she is thin and quite frail, is making slow progress. There's been a lot to do, but we've organised some carers to come in several times a week, and hopefully things will be in a good routine by the new year. So I've booked flights back to New Zealand in mid-January, and we'll just need to see how things go. If the right moment comes along, and this is it, and you're at St Andrews over the festive period, could you please pass on the word about mum and wish everyone a happy Christmas and a peaceful new year from me? People have been so kind.
Margaret Rushbrook, thanks everyone for your thoughtful plastic-free brunch contributions last Sunday. I personally found that I had to think twice at the last minute about not grabbing a plastic bag to carry my food here in. Now we've started with plastic-free brunches, do you think we can keep it up? I'm a starter. It may seem like a very small thing, but it is something.
Rosemary Lawrence with a message for those who are planning to come to the service on Christmas Eve. We still have gaps in the volunteer roster. Now, I don't want to lay a guilt trip on you, but if we were not able to find three people to dispense the sherry and the cake and the goodwill, I suggest it might be a blight on our name as a place of great hospitality and welcome. So I'll be waving this round the back. You know, more hands make light work, and there's one person needed for the offering, and that's a requirement. You know, you have to have two people to check it and sign it. So there we are. Don't be shy.
I'm Marilyn Wallace. Many years ago, some of you may remember, I had a project selling Cambodian bags to raise funds for the restoration of the buildings. Life intervened and I never quite sold the last few bags, which had been sitting in our basement for a very long time now. I've suddenly, at the last minute today, thought, oh, I must take them and see if I can pass them off or get, you know, dispose of them. I've got a few bags down the back there that I'd sell for $20 or less, even make an offer. And the proceeds from today can go to the restoration of the organ fund.
Let us come into a time of quiet. In this gathered community, in the season of anticipation, we reflect on the many coloured threads of Advent. Quiet moments of hope amidst what feels like situations of despair. The promise of peace despite relentless warring. and today we notice joy alongside sorrow. In this season, we are so mindful of those we are missing. Our hearts fill with the sorrow of loss. And we hold them in our minds, even as we experience the joy of reunion with family and friends, at airports and train stations, and at our dinner tables. This week in particular, we grieve over stories of violence against women and wonder what has happened to our young men. How is it they've become so disconnected from the capacity for intimacy and the ability to be vulnerable? And even as we ask these questions, we are soon to celebrate the joyful birth of a baby boy. And in the aftermath of a horrific event, still the human capacity for quiet hope as people gathered at vigils around the country. We pray for our sons and daughters to develop mutual respect and loving relationships. We pray with those who have written in the book. Please pray that my digestive system heals and that my mouth heals. Many thanks, Sue. Thanksgiving for Joan being well. For the Benefit Rights Service African client who came on Thursday with several platters of wonderful food and breads. For all those at Porirua Work and Income involved in the agency that reversed its policy regarding emergency housing and allowed a mother and her children to stay for no upfront payment, a 21st century miracle of joy. For Cornelia and Stuart Grant, Minister at Kapiti Uniting, whose house has been very seriously damaged by fire, the night before Cornelia went into hospital for surgery. For Palestinians under occupation, what Christmas hope and joy for them and other families worldwide suffering in Yemen, Afghanistan, Syria. And finally for Billy, who had an operation last week. In the circle of prayer, we think today of the people of South Korea and the National Council of Churches in Korea. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Paul Eagle from Rongotai electorate and Chris Faafoi, Mana electorate. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pay for the leaders and people of St Andrew's Union Church in Featherston. We close our prayers today with the prayer for St Andrew's found on the laminated card. If you're visiting with us, please feel free to make this a prayer for your people and your place as well as ours. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
for those who have no joy in their hearts, for those whose lives are full of difficulty, for those who are anxious and have no peace. We have lit the candle of joy. We go out remembering the call to be bearers of joy in a troubled world.